My talk is on the evaluation of some farmscaping plants on the body sugar contents of a parasitoid wasp, Microplides crocifus. This project is part of a larger project done by the USDA to improve organic vegetable production in Alabama. My thesis project consists of a field and lab component, and my goal ultimately is to develop a system of farmscaping plants that I can recommend to organic vegetable farmers to make to help them control their insects. I'm going to be talking about part of the lab component of my project today on some analysis of the feeding on some of these flowering plants. It's been shown that a number of parasitoids, most parasitoid adults, require some sort of sugar resource to maintain their longevity and fecundity. Even in our lab colonies, we have to provide the adults with a sugar water solution or else they'll be dead within a couple of days. My project is to specifically test this wasp against some of the other some of the farmscaping plants that we are using in our project. We'll be using Microplides crocifus, which is a braconid. It is a parasitoid of the larvae of the tomato fruit worm and some Heliothis species, which cause a lot of damage in Alabama to tomatoes. The three plants I'm using are Sweet Alyssum, Buckwheat, and Licorice Mint. We selected these plants for their attractiveness to the insects as well as for their sequential blooming period so that we can always have some blooming in a field if we plant them in a tomato field. Our ultimate goal is to find a system using a mixture of these plants that we can recommend to organic farmers that will help reduce some of their pest problems. My objective here is to demonstrate the ability of Microplides to feed on the nectar from some of these farmscaping plants. So our key questions are, can adult Microplides feed on nectar from the farmscaping plants, and does nectar feeding result in the accumulation of body nutrients? And we are using a biochemical assay to measure their sugar contents. We hypothesize that the parasitoids will feed on these nectar sugars and that we'll be able to see an increase in the body nutrients and the body sugar contents. Just in setting up these experiments, we have seen the parasitoids feeding on each of the three types of flowers. So we assume that they are taking in nutrients from these flowers. So our objective here is to get a measurement of these. Our procedure consists of using a cage and putting in a couple of the flowering farmscaping plants. We'll be using five different treatments, the three farmscaping plants. We have buckwheat, sweet alyssum, licorice mint, honey as a positive control, and water only as a negative control. We'll be providing water with each of these treatments, so that's consistent throughout. We leave these parasitoids in the cage for 3 days and allow them to feed. After 3 days, we remove the wasp, we freeze them, and we run some biochemical tests for the gut contents. We'll be running tests for the gut sugars, the total sugars, glycogen, and lipids. We'll replicate this study until we have a total of 25 parasitoids per treatment. We're using three basic tests. We'll be using a cold anthrone test to test for fructose, and a hot anthrone test that will detect total body sugars, and a similar test to test for glycogen reserves. We'll also use a vanillin test to test for lipids. The assays that we're using were originally developed for use with mosquitoes, but have been modified to use with parasitoid wasps. This is a diagram of the bioassay procedure. We crush the wasp and then we vortex it, which leaves us with supernatant and a precipitate. We split the supernatant into two equal portions. We use part of it for the anthrone test, the cold and hot anthrone test, and we use the other part for the vanillin test for lipids, and we use the precipitate to test for glycogen. This is a graph of some of the key sugars that parasitoids get from some of their natural sources, which are usually floral nectar and honeydew. We'll be testing for these sugars. Most of the ones that show up are sucrose, glucose, and fructose. These are some of our preliminary results. We need to get more replicates on them to make them conclusive, but the early results would indicate that they are getting some sugar from buckwheat. Right here we have water on the left, honey on the right, and buckwheat, licorice mint, and sweet alyssum. Buckwheat definitely appears larger than any of the other treatments other than honey, so it appears that they are getting their nutrients from the flower. However, licorice mint and sweet alyssum are not, and we have seen them feed on these flowers, so if these results hold up, that would probably indicate that the nectar may be a lower quality nectar and maybe providing them with less sugar than some other flowers. So that's something that will be interesting to see, and it's very similar on both the gut sugars and the total sugars. Continue on, we have similar results with glycogen. Buckwheat appears to be a little bit higher. Licorice mint is proportionally a little higher than what it was in the sugars. Lipids, there's not too much of a difference here, which isn't surprising because most insects cannot synthesize lipids from sugars. So, but a few can, but apparently Micropleiades cannot. Our observations show that the wasps do feed on the flowers. We've seen them on the flowers and appear to be actively, at least trying to feed on them. We're definitely going to need more replicates to draw significant conclusions regarding the effects on these body nutrients. If this research is successful, we'll identify some effective farmscaping plants for organic vegetable farmers that will be beneficial in bringing in parasitoids and other nectar-feeding insects that will hopefully find the pest and that will hopefully find the pest on the neighboring tomato crops. And also, with the lab project, we hope to determine the importance of supplementary nectar feeding on the fitness of adult parasitoid wasps that feed on these flowers. Thank you. Any questions?
Plenty of time for questions.
Yes, sir.
It looked like you had more lipids in the honey-fed wasps.
So that's true.
Do you think that it may look that they might be able to engage in lipogenesis?
It's possible. The thing is, we need more replicates for this whole experiment. But yeah, that is interesting. If it holds up, it likely either shows that they do have lipogenesis, or maybe there was some lipids in the honey. One way or the other, which I doubt, but you know, there may be something that they're getting out of the honey that's helping them do it that they may not be getting out of the nectar.
It'd be the first case.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Among your farmscaping plants, which is the most attractive to the herbivores?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I know we have seen a lot of thrips on buckwheat, which is not good because thrips are a major problem in tomato fields because they have because they vector tomato spotted wilt virus, which is a major problem. So that could be a drawback because our results also seem to show that buckwheat is beneficial to the parasitoids too. So I would say of those, probably buckwheat.
Did you see any kind of herbivory or like plant damage? I guess that's probably a better estimate as to, you know, whether it's attractive to cereals.
Well, in the lab, we didn't have too much of that because we grew them in a greenhouse, and we didn't have too much of a pest problem. But yes, there are generally more signs of thrips damage on licorice or on buckwheat than either licorice mint or sweet alyssum. Yes, sir.
I just wanted to ask you, do you have any measurements to know whether they feed equally on the different flowering species, or if they might have an aversion to one or the other?
That's a good question. I don't have any that on that.